Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee Podcast. I'm Jordan Edwards, Communications Associate at the BJC. Today I'll be talking to Gerwin Ahuja, who is Executive Director of the National Seat Campaign. Gerwin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Gerwin, why don't we start off? Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you became involved in the National Seat Campaign and talk a little bit about the principles of Sikhism that our listeners may not be aware of.
Well, I'll start with the principles first. Sikhism is the fifth largest religion in the world. I believe it's also the third largest monotheistic religion in the world. So it would go Christianity, Islam, and then Sikhism. And the core tenets of the religion are belief in one God, equality, gender equality, racial equality, religious tolerance. Those are kind of the main beliefs and organizing principles around the faith. And the way I started the National Sikh Campaign actually started when I worked on the Obama campaign. When I was working on the campaign, a massive attack happened in Wisconsin in 2012 on a Sikh temple. At the temple, basically a neo-Nazi went in and shot a few of the congregation members. It's kind of a shocking thing for someone to go into a place of worship and just, you know, indiscriminately shoot people. The main motivating factor for this person to probably do something like this is because we're deeply misunderstood. And that largely that misunderstanding happens because of the way we look. Sikhs wear turbans and have beards, which often have connotations with things like terrorism. For us, those things represent our commitment to equality and justice and those things I was talking about earlier. And I felt like if we did a better job of communicating who we were, we wouldn't run into issues like this, because you may not have a neo-Nazi coming in and shooting everybody, but on a regular basis, kids are being bullied, adults are facing employment discrimination. And I felt that our values aligned very closely with American values and we could tell our story. So I got a lot of folks that either had worked on the Obama campaign in 2008 and 2012, and we actually just hired some folks that worked with President Bush, too, to help figure out how my community can communicate our values of equality and set the record straight of what our image represents, what the turban represents, and who we are.
Why did you become interested in interfaith work? Why not just stay in your Sikh bubble and only deal with people of your own faith?
Right. So the purpose of National Sikh Campaign is help educate people of who we are. And because, again, I feel like if someone got to know me and know what my values were, most Americans would say we're exactly aligned. And I was in many focus groups trying to figure out what the Sikh message was going to be. And I saw people that were obviously of different faiths in the focus group and seeing people that were pretty hardened in their initial beliefs that Sikhs were bad by just looking at us. But then after just, again, having that contact, I saw with my own eyes people shifting and having a better understanding and becoming more accepting. And I feel like we could replicate those conversations. So I felt that it was critical for us to go out and tell our story to other people. And I'm sure if we talked about the core tenets of Christianity and the core tenets of Sikhism, there would be a lot of overlap in terms of how we view the world and how we should treat other people. And I just thought it would be good to explore those things.
So that leads us into Know Your Neighbor, how mm-hmm. we became acquainted with you. Tell me a little bit about Know Your Neighbor, what it is, how it started, and what your hopes for it going forward.
But the initial thought of it actually started in a focus group that I was telling you about. So I'll go into a little bit of detail. So there was a woman in a focus group, very hardened in her beliefs against of who Sikhs were. Once she was presented with a picture of a Sikh man. She sees a turban, she sees a beard. She often will probably connect that with things she's seen in the news, with people that wore those articles, and was very anti-Sikh. But she didn't know what a Sikh was, what her values were, anything. She just said the image. Again, then after she got the information and understood who we were and understood what our values were, it was amazing to see her transform like that. At the end, she was like, I hope my neighbor is Sikh. I hope I would love to have Sikh friends. And in a country that's pretty divided, it was a pretty powerful thing to see. And I felt like the country at the time we started Know Your Neighbor, which was around 2015, and I felt the country was having a big conversation about diversity, but wasn't talking about faith-based diversity, which is also a major dividing line in a lot of our public discussions. And I felt that if we did that, not just for Sikhism, but we did it for Islam or did it for evangelicals or did it for people that don't even have faith, people could see the humanity and generally be more accepting and really follow through on the promise of this country of viewing people as all people of equal, is equal regardless of their faith and regardless of their color, gender, etc.
That all makes sense. And you were included in a White House event that was 2015 as well. So what's the state of Know Your Neighbor at this moment? You're moving back to your home state of Ohio. The Obama administration is over. So where does Know Your Neighbor go from here?
That's a great question. So a wonderful organization, Islamic Networks Group, has taken the project on and has really been leading it. The person that's been really pushing this is a young lady named Kate Chance, extremely bright, got a degree in religious affairs in Oxford. She's leading the charge with the support from her boss, Maha. Both of them have been wonderful to work with, and they're really leading the coalition. And they've actually expanded some of the things that we've done, because a lot of things that we've been doing, at least, you know, with me running things on a day-to-day basis, was policy driven. Mm-hmm. And they've been able to add in a very strong grassroots element to the program, and have been working with organizations around the country to actually map out all the interfaith work that's being done. So that's been a huge contribution to the interfaith movement.
And to give people an idea, what kind of groups were involved in the Know Your Neighbor campaign?
That's also a great question. People from every stripe. And then I think that was the core goal of the campaign, or of the coalition, rather. Because we wanted...
Or I guess I should say are involved, because it still exists.
I'm not managing it day-to-day, but it's still a thing. We have atheist groups in there. We have groups that are humanist groups. We have groups that are conservative. We have groups that are very progressive. We have groups that are arguing with each other on a day-to-day basis, but then on this one issue and the one coalition, they work together. The purpose is everyone's organizing around the principle of Know Your Neighbor of religious tolerance and promoting religious pluralism.
And there's an online pledge at knowyourneighbor.us, which anyone can still sign that, right?
That's right. Anybody can still sign the pledge. And the pledge is basically what you mentioned, which is you're just signing a commitment that you believe that our country should respect and celebrate the fact that we're all different and we have different beliefs. But despite those beliefs, we're committed to the principle of religious freedom and religious liberty.
The Know Your Neighbor Coalition has definitely brought people together on Capitol Hill and across the country. What have you gotten out of Know Your Neighbor on a personal basis?
There's a lot. The first thing is you have a lot of groups in D.C. that are representing a lot of other folks around the country, places like BJC, places like the ACLU, etc., that are genuinely committed and can work together if presented with kind of the right organizing principles. It was interesting to see groups like the Center for Inquiry, which was a humanist group, which, to my knowledge, I don't think they did a lot of interfaith work prior to Know Your Neighbor. Having gone through the program, I think their members have become much more willing to support these kind of things and see the value in them, to the point where, you know, a few months ago, I spoke at the Humanist Hub at Harvard. You know, I'm Sikh. I very visibly wear my religion. I have a turban and a beard. But there was a lot of commonalities that I had with the humanists. And, you know, a lot of them don't believe in, if not all of them, don't believe in God. And it was a beautiful thing to see. As an American, it was a beautiful thing to see, because obviously we don't agree on this, you know, very central issue. But as a community, as an American community, there's a lot of values that overlap. And again, the reason why I keep bringing this up is the country's pretty divided. It's important to remind ourselves and important to find places where these values overlap, because it's kind of to the point where it seems like if you're on another side of an issue, you can't even talk to that person.
Right. It's interesting you brought up how some groups engaged in this interfaith coalition who hadn't done much interfaith work before.
Right.
At the Baptist Joint Committee, we have decades of working with other faith groups.
Right.
But not everyone's like that.
You know? Right. No, yeah. That's right. And just to pump up the BJC a little bit, that experience came through when we were working on the coalition from a perspective of just being able to be diplomatic with a lot of different views. And actually, we've hosted all of our meetings here, and the diplomacy in that with a lot of different viewpoints was extremely helpful. A lot of organizations can't say they can do that. I would say the other thing that I learned in terms of the government is that when organizations like BJC and others come together, we really can change policy. And we did. And we changed policy at about 5 or 6 different agencies, like White House, Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, the EEOC, Department of Education, et cetera. We basically, through all these policy changes at all these different agencies, we made the government be better, our federal government be better at reaching out to religious communities, particularly religious minority communities, and hearing people's concerns on the ground.
Our former general counsel, Melissa Rogers, who was head of the Office of Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships, that had to help as well.
Yes, that's right. Melissa Rogers is a BJC alum and was a faith director at the White House, and also absolutely wonderful to work with, to be frank. I really liked working with Melissa. She's very, very kind. I'm shocked that she took us up on this proposal, because the way I presented to her was just running into her office saying, I have an idea. If it wasn't for her support, we wouldn't have gotten anywhere.
Now, you're headed back to Ohio. Mm-hmm. What does the future hold for you? Are you going to stay in the policy world, or what are you going to do?
I don't know, to be frank. One thing I will definitely stay involved in some way is, I think now more than ever, given the political reality that we live in, I will personally continue to stay engaged with literally getting to know my neighbor. And what I mean by that is I'm going back to Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio.
Is that a city where you can expand your mission and actually do things you want
to
do?
So. I mean, there's definitely, just from reading news reports, like, there are a lot of racial tensions there, particularly downtown. The demographics are changing, but it's traditionally a pretty diverse state. So you have a hodgepodge of different things, and depending where you go, the environment's different.
All right, Gerwin, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, and good luck on your move.
Thanks, man.
And thank you for listening to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. For more podcasts, you can go to our podcast page at bjconline.org/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes channel.